Welcome back to another episode of the Bad Movies Worst Opinions podcast. Let me give you guys the itinerary for this month. So we are going to do Four Christmases today. That's today's podcast. We're also going to review the recent Hallmark movie. That's going to come out on Thursday. We also have Bad Santa 2. We also have The Preacher's Wife and also Jingle All the Way this month as well, getting you ready for Christmas. So wanted to give you guys an itinerary of what we have planned in December. Really excited. I love Christmas movies. Hopefully you do as well, because that's all we got in the month of December. Enough of me. Let's get to the review of Four Christmases.
No mercy.
You left me in the jump to die.
I thought you were waving at me like, hey, I'm getting past my fears. What would cross my mind over this to think that you could possibly be getting shanked by four-year-olds?
How can you really appreciate someone for who they are unless you know them?
My brothers, they're trained UFC fighters.
Soldier boy! Soldier boy!
Oh, you're a sissy.
All they want for Christmas.
I just gotta adjust it.
Pull the damn thing.
Too much.
Is an exit strategy. Vince Vaughn, Reese Witherspoon.
Hello. Did Jags a projectile?
I'll move on it.
Four Christmases.
You gotta get out of here. Dad. I can't breathe. I wanna do it too.
Welcome into another episode of the Bad Movies Worst Opinions podcast, where we believe that everybody has a favorite bad movie. The only rule is that we must watch a movie that's rated below 6.0 on IMDb. It is Christmas time here. We are only going to be doing Christmas movies for the month of December. We actually have two Christmas movies this week. We will have a podcast up for, what is it, Holiday Touchdown, A Love Story? I don't know the Hallmark movie, what the official name is, but we will have that podcast that will come out later in the week. Today's podcast is Four Christmases. Whitney Edwards joins us back into the show today. You have seen both of the movies that we have a podcast coming up for this week.
I have, yeah. Just rewatched Four Christmases last night, and then because of you, I got to go to the premiere for the Holiday Touchdown movie.
And you took shots with somebody from The Bachelorette or The Bachelor or
I didn't take shots. I was just like there with
them. You weren't really living it if you weren't doing shots with somebody from The Bachelor.
I could not tell you the last time I took a shot.
Could have been Saturday.
It could have been, but it wasn't for sure.
So we're watching Four Christmases. This is actually one of my favorite Christmas movies. You also like this movie a lot, so I'm very excited to review this movie. Four Christmases is rated a 5.7 on IMDb out of 82,000 votes. The plot, a couple struggles to visit all four of their divorced parents on Christmas. Very short and to the point. This is exactly what Four Christmases is about. Let me ask you this question before we move on. My first question of the podcast. This movie cost $80 million to make. Where is $80 million going for Four Christmases?
The actors, for sure. Like, that is where most of that budget has to be going, right? All four of the people who play parents are Oscar-winning actors, and so I think that's where most of the budget was.
So the cast for this movie, Vince Vaughn is Brad, Reese Witherspoon is Kate, Robert Duvall, he is Brad's father, he is Howard, Jon Favreau, he is a brother of Brad, he's in this movie as well. Mary Steenburgen is Marilyn Kincaid, that's Kate's mom. Dwight Yoakam is Pastor Phil. I remember Dwight Yoakam from Sling Blade. That is my understanding of Dwight Yoakam. Is there a movie you think of when you think of Dwight Yoakam?
No, I think it's Sling Blade.
Kristen Chenoweth, I just recently learned she's like a Broadway goddess or something.
You just recently learned? That?
In the last maybe Harrington. 6 weeks.
Oh my gosh.
She's like in Wicked or something. She was
yeah,
like.
Yeah, she debuted that role on Broadway.
So she was Ariana Grande's character?
Yes, Glinda.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I just learned this in the last 6 weeks.
Oh, her voice is incredible. Like her singing voice, you should. Like, she was on Glee for, like, a while.
I know her from this movie. I don't know Kristen Chenoweth from anywhere else. But, no, she is a very popular Broadway actress. John Voight is in this movie. This is actually a really strong cast for a Christmas movie. You mentioned the accolades in this cast. If you're going to spend $80 million, you better go get an A-list crew. They got pretty close to an A-list crew.
Oh, 100%. Even, like, the bit characters. I mean, like, Tim McGraw is one of the brothers. Everywhere you look, it's like, oh, this is like a really stacked cast from every aspect.
This movie came out November 26th of 2008, has a runtime of 89 minutes. We gave you guys the budget, $80 million. It did double up at the box office, $163.7 million. Let me give you the box office for the weekend that Four Christmases came out. It debuted at number one at $46 million. Twilight was in its second week, was at number two at $39.5 million. Bolt was also in the box office at $35.9 million. Quantum of Solace at $27.4 million, and Australia also debuted at $20 million. I have never seen a James Bond movie before.
Me either.
I've never seen one
before. Oh my gosh. Me either. It's like a secret shame I carry around.
I've never seen one. I have started James Bond movies before. I have never from start to finish sat down and watched. Mm-hmm. I could not tell you the plot or villain or whatever about a single James Bond movie.
I know like the like tropey jokes that people like do where it's like the James Bond villain and like he's like petting like a cat. I think that's from like the old school James Bond stuff, but like I think it's about a spy. I don't know anything about it.
I don't know anything about it either. I do want to ask this question before we move forward in Four Christmases. I have absolutely no understanding how this movie is in our purview to review on this podcast. Maybe I am biased because Vince Vaughn is one of my favorite comedic actors. I just love Vince Vaughn, and this movie really lets him and Reese Witherspoon go, and they really drive this movie. I'm going to tell you right now, I already think this movie is rated way too low. I think this movie should be closer to a 6.5, 6.7. I cannot believe it falls under a 6.
Here's my take. I actually think that this movie would be rated higher if it wasn't a Christmas movie. If it was like they had to visit all four of their families for like any other reason other than they got stranded during Christmas time, I think it would be rated higher. But I think because it falls under the umbrella of holiday movie, people automatically like kind of discount those, except for like a few exceptions.
Yeah, that just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. This is a good rom-com. This is a good movie. So our movie begins in a swanky San Francisco bar with our two stars doing a little bit of role play, with Vince Vaughn playing Kent from the Bison State, also Reese Witherspoon as Daphne, a cute little PYT from Vermont. Bitch, I'm talking to you.
Where are you from?
Connecticut.
Really? I'm a big fan of Connecticut. I'm a big, who isn't, right? You're close enough to the city that you can really enjoy it, but you're also far enough away that you got a small town feel. Did you go to school out there?
Yeah, I did. I went to Wesleyan.
That's perfect. That's a great school. What did you major in while you were
going there? Psychology.
That's great. Those are really beautiful earrings, by the way. They do a nice job of complimenting your...
I'm gonna stop you right there. Because on paper, you've done everything right. You took an interest in my personal history. You complimented my accessories. Blah. Blah, blah. If we'd met in college, a relationship probably would have developed between us, which I would have come to regret because I would have found out that you're just as boring and polite in the bedroom as you have been during this god-awful conversation.
Hey, Daphne,
I mean, if I wanted an asexual pen pal, you'd be at the top of my list. We could just iChat all night long. LOL, giggles. But unfortunately, that's not what I'm looking for. I want a man whose hand doesn't shake when he puts it up my shirt.
We then meet Brad and Kate, who are two people in love and just happy not to be married. They are planning on skipping a traditional Christmas, and they are going to Fiji to inoculate babies and scuba dive. Well, the weather completely changes their plans with the fog storm and cancels everything. With now their cover blown due to a live news shot, they are not going on vacation anymore. They now have to spend Christmas with the family, all four of their families, in one day. I did like the small touch of Ralphie from A Christmas Story being the clerk at the airport. That was really good.
He has done this several times where
Peter Billingsley.
Yeah. And he has like just done a cameo in just different Christmas movies several times. And it's a home run every time because he's an elf, too, as like one of the elves.
One of my favorite things about Vince Vaughn is in this scene where he is a frustrated consumer, right? We had this plan. We're going to go somewhere. You're telling us we can't go. We all know that the person at the front desk behind the computer can't really do anything. And just his back and forth, he tells jokes in such a way that doesn't make you think that it's written. Like, they tell him to go in there with an idea and a concept, and just whatever flows just flows. Like when Reese Witherspoon asks if they have a sister airline, and then he's like, what about a cousin airline? Yeah. What about an airline that your airline's filled up before. He and Will Ferrell are really, really good at those off-the-cuff jokes that, like, they're not incredibly, like, memorable scenes of the movie. Yeah. But if you like that person, you will find this very funny.
Oh, absolutely. And you can tell, like you were saying, so much of it is just very organic. When I was looking up things about this movie, it said, like, I think it said, like, 60% of, like, the scenes, like, involved heavy improv. And, you, like, that's got to just be mostly Vince Vaughn just, like, going.
When he calls his mom to tell them that they're not going and he randomly just starts speaking another language, like, I don't think that was written in there. It's just, he's just really, really funny to me. Our first stop of the day is going by Brad's dad's house where we meet his side of the family. Well, we learn why maybe Brad doesn't come around a whole lot as his brothers Dallas and Denver open up a can of whoop-ass on our friend.
Kate, they are trained UFC fighters. They know pressure points on people.
But you're twice their size.
They're semi-professional cage fighters. Like, one person comes out, one person doesn't. You know what I mean? Like cockfighting, but, like, with dudes.
I thought you said they were personal trainers.
They're dude cockfighters.
Like that thing that you see on the pay-per-view?
Yes, exactly. Oh. Except they don't actually get paid for it. They mostly just brawl in people's backyards, and then they upload the footage to YouTube. Honey, my childhood was just like the Shawshank Redemption, except I didn't have some kind, older, soft-spoken, gentle black man to share my struggle with.
Kate is surprised to learn that Brad's real name is not Brad. In fact, it is Orlando, as that's where he's conceived, the same with his other two brothers. We learn that there's a $10 spending cap on presents, which leads to one of the kids going streaking, and we also learn the kids know that now there's no Santa. The men of the house all go on the roof to instill a satellite dish that Brad got for his pops. All hell breaks loose, though, as Brad can't install the dish, nearly destroying his father's home in the process. Mistletoe. What do you think about this scene? Because there is a lot going on in this scene. There are the most characters you feel on screen. There's Jon Favreau. There's Tim McGraw. There's the wife. There's the baby. There's the two little kids. There's a lot going on in this house.
I feel like compared to like the other like houses they go to like, throughout the day, this like first stop feels the most like authentically like, oh, this is like a family that like feels real, but like also feels like he definitely hasn't seen them in a while. He's clearly embarrassed about and like, but it's for like very like real reasons. I mean, like I have a brother and like my brother for sure has walked into a room and just like body slammed me before. And that's like immediately he shows up and his brothers are like, oh, we are going to go full like UFC on this.
They're dude cockfighters is what he says.
Yeah.
That's what he says. They're dude cockfighters.
And then like the kids finding out that Santa's not real was so funny to me too. Cause like I've worked with a lot of kids and so I've had that happen where I've watched in real time, another kid, like an older kid tell a younger kid like, hey, Santa's not real. And like, you have to like try to like do like really fast damage control and it never actually works. And you're like, no, like Santa's fine. He actually just got out of the hospital. He's fine. Like you're just like scrambling to say anything. So funny to me.
That's when you become an adult. The moment you find out there's no Kris Kringle, there's no Santa Claus, that's the day you transition from kid to adult. That is a damaging thing. I remember when I was a kid, Santa left me a note one year and told me to do good in school. I thought that was like the coolest thing in the world that Santa thought so much of me. You got to keep those memories for as long as you can. One of those kids was going to town on Vince Vaughn. He was smacking him. He was about UFC bongos his face. Like, stop.
Yeah.
No.
He said, Google me.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said, Google me. I might lose custody again. I want to know how you lost custody the first time, Tim McGraw. I want to know how you lost it. Next up is Kate's mom's house, who has a new boyfriend, Pastor Phil. We meet Kate's side of the family, who are a very friendly group of gals. While the ladies are showing Brad a scrapbook from Kate's childhood, Kate takes a pregnancy test in the bathroom. Well, her niece steals the test and runs into the jump. If Kate wants her test back, she's going to have to conquer her fears to retrieve it. Well, she does, and the test comes back negative. But you can see that Kate's feelings on family are changing as the day progresses. What do you call the jump? Because I've never called it a jump. That's a moon bounce.
That's a moon bounce.
Or a bouncy house. I've never called it a jump before.
Yeah. No, that's insane. Also, what kind of tax bracket are you in that like somebody in the neighborhood just has like a moon bounce set up in their backyard? No adults supervising it. They're just trusting that these children on Christmas are going to be okay in there. wild behavior to me. Wild behavior. Like, would never be my neighborhood.
The funniest line in the entire movie happens in this when they're going around and they're giving thanks. And the grandma says that I could increase the frequency at which I pleasure Mildred with my hand and my mouth. And Vince Vaughn's reaction.
He goes, did she just say that?
It is so funny.
Graham, would you like to go next?
I could increase the frequency with which I pleasure Mild with my hand and with my mouth.
Did she just say that?
Brad, why don't you go next?
I'm follow Graham with the hand stuff and what she does with her stuff. Yeah, okay. I'd like to, with Kate, would be to vacationing more frequently and doing it with Kate, afraid of vacation.
That is lovely, Brad. He's so well spoken.
Then when he has to give what he's thankful for, I'm like, oh, he's so articulate. He was not articulate, not at all. Not at all in that moment. Kristen Chenoweth looks good here. I don't know how old Kristen Chenoweth is here, but elite older milk here.
Very much in that style and very good. I do think it's really funny, like, the way they go around and, like, say the gifts that they want to give themselves or to other people this year. And, like, the kids sitting there, like, we're not doing real presents. Like, because that would 100% be me right now.
That would be every kid. Wait, hold on. It's Christmas time.
I'm in my 30s. And if I showed up to, like, my mom's house and she was like, this is what we're doing for Christmas this year, I'd be like, What do you mean?
there's no gifts. What did you think of Kate's friend Joe?
When they're going through like the scrapbooks and it's like clearly like a lesbian and she's like realizing in real time, like, oh no.
We used to play beach and she would rub the suntan lotion on me. And you're right, she's like, oh yeah. Like, you didn't realize back then what was going on. He said haircuts don't lie.
That is such a good line.
Yeah. We take a quick detour to Pastor Phil's church where Brad and Kate have to play Mary and Joseph in the play. And if you don't remember anything from this movie or this podcast, remember to please swaddle your baby. We head to house number 3 as we stop to Brad's mom's house, who was dating one of Brad's former friends. And
I'm not trying to be your father. You already got one of those. I'm just hoping for a chance to be your friend.
You were my friend, Daryl. You were my best friend. We grew up together. We rode bikes together. We used to smell each other's hands. But now you're sleeping with my mom, and it's a little bit weird for me. Can you appreciate that?
I never had a sexual thought about your mom until I was 30.
Can you leave it alone? You can't be my friend anymore. You can't be sleeping with my mom and still be my friend, okay?
I'm thirsty. Is anybody else thirsty? Kate, what can I get you to drink?
Look, your mother is a very sexual being, Brad.
She's a very what?
She's a great lover, and she's a great...
You say that again, and I'm going to bust your mouth open.
Awkward game of taboo ensues and continue to show that our two parties are very, very different. Kate's not good at taboo. This would make me frustrated if I was Brad, too. Now, this was a culmination of the day, and he was projecting a little bit, but Kate's really bad at taboo.
Yeah.
She saw the way that his brother and wife were really good at the game, and then is, like, trying to tell story. No! Play the game regular. I was on Brad's side here.
One of my favorite moments from this movie is, like, Brad's getting frustrated. Kate's terrible at this game. The whole time, like, the mom is just doing the buzzer.
The buzzer.
Like, as Brad's trying to explain the game, and she's buzzering over him the whole time. And then he gets to a point where he just goes, I've shut down. I'm shutting down. I've shut down. And that is so funny to me. Just to, like, announce it like that. Just like, no, I'm done. Like, we're bad at this game. I'm done with it. I'm over it.
See, I understand Brad's bad attitude the whole time. I get it. Brad's bad attitude started that his boy is now dating his mom. And then your girl's also bad at the game. Brad, I'm on your side here. I could be biased, but I'm on your side here, Brad.
Yeah.
In the car heading to the final house, Kate tells Brad about the pregnancy test and that she wants to be open to wherever their relationship could possibly lead, family, marriage, or wherever life could take them. But Brad is adamant about not wanting those things and keeping their relationship as it is. Kate tells Brad she can't do this relationship thing anymore, and she goes into the final house alone. This part seemed really realistic to me up until the very, very end where you know they're going to get back together, but they break up. Like, you guys have lived together for 3 years, and now we're just going to break up in the middle of a car ride. Old, like, all right. I don't know if you break up. I think you maybe just let them out of the car and you don't go in. I don't know if in that moment you guys break up to basically get back together 2.5 hours later.
Yeah. I feel like so much of like that breakup, like all the trouble in this movie could have been solved one of two ways. You don't wait 3 years to introduce your partner to your family because that's insane. Because, like, you clearly like your family. I mean, like, there's, like, troubles and, like, it's dramatic. But, like, he clearly likes his mom. He, you know, like, she clearly likes hanging out with, like, her sister. Like, you like your family. Just introduce your partner to them before 3 years. Or do your Christmases separately. When you got caught on the news and your family started calling, just be like, yeah, I'll come over. Separate. You don't have to do the whole thing.
I don't know if an even well, solid relationship could do 4 different houses in one day, especially when, to your point, you're right. This is your first time meeting everybody. You got to stagger those 2 days.
Oh, yeah. I got 2 houses in me, maybe. Like, I could do one of mine, one of yours, and then I'm tapped out for the day.
Yeah, you do one at noon. Let's say you leave there at 2:30. Mm-hmm. You go to the next house at 3. You stay there till about 5 or 6. You go over to the final house. If you want to do 3 houses, you go to the final house for coffee, cake. How was your Christmas? La-di-da. You maybe watch a movie or do something else like this. Like, this is a stressful day if you only do one of those things in meeting the family for the first time. You quadrupled the stress of it? No.
Yeah. Like, you add on all, like, the factors of, like, you know, like, Brad shows up to his dad's house, immediately gets tackled by his brothers. So, like, he's immediately in a bad mood. And then he, like, falls off a roof. And, like, I mean, like, when you add everything, like, all up, it's like, you could have avoided so much of this.
Who's your favorite secondary character in here? Because you mentioned the brothers a little bit. The dad, Brad's dad, Robert Duvall, is also a great character. Who's one of your favorite secondary characters? Because I think what this movie does really well is you have the two main characters in Vince Vaughn and Reese Witherspoon, and they carry it. But there's probably 10 to 12 other characters that are why this movie holds up so well to you and I.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, like, all the parents are so great. I'm going to say Kate's mom, Marilyn, Mary Steenburgen. I think she's probably my favorite just because I think she's so funny as, like, this, like, she's trying so hard to be, like, this, like, good pastor's girlfriend. But then, like, is way too much of, like, a busybody, like, with her daughter, like, volunteering her, like, for, like, the play at the church.
She, like, will play the Virgin Mary!
Yeah. Like, that's so funny to me. Of just, like, her, she's like, I'm gonna be involved in this.
I really like Robert Duvall's character. He just has so many good lines in this movie. Mm-hmm. If you think I'm gonna let some sex offender come in here and touch me in my underwear, you got another thing coming. On the roof when he calls his mom a common street whore. Robert Duvall, every time he's on the screen, is really, really funny.
When Vince Vaughn is, like, yelling at him, like, hot or cold, about, like, the satellite.
Hot,
he's
or
like,
cold what? Yeah. Hot or cold what? What does that even mean? Hot
I don't
or
know what that means. They're just yelling back.
He told him his TV was a radio. That's what he told him. So Kate talks to her father, who tells her the importance of family, quality time, but also being honest. Brad goes back to his dad as well and soon realizes that this is not the way he wants to live his life after their conversation. He reminisces in his childhood bedroom and soon goes back to Kate's house to tell her that he is open to these conversations and wants to commit more of himself to their relationship and the possibilities of where it could lead. Fast forward 1 year later, Kate and Brad now have their own little one, but have kept this a secret from their respective families. Well, the news crew once again comes and pops up and crashes the party as the two have their first baby of the year. This concludes 4 Christmases. This was a great way to end the movie because it was the callback to what happened in the second house with the baby spits up, and then the baby spits up on Reese Witherspoon, and some of it now gets on Vince Vaughn. This was the perfect way to end this movie.
No, I fully agree. Of, like, them doing, like, they got caught by a news crew again. Vince Vaughn's doing, like, the fumbling talking where he's just, like, not making sense. He's talking about a vacuum at one point. And then, yeah, the baby spits up. So funny.
On Rotten Tomatoes, Four Christmases has an approval rating of 25% on 145 reviews. The site's critical consensus reads, despite a strong cast, the sour comedy suffers from an unoriginal script. I didn't really need this movie to be very original. I'm with you. It is extremely cookie cutter, and it gets us to the point that we all know that it's going to get to. But it's also a Christmas movie where I think the point of it is to give you a message. The movie clearly has a message. And then it's to feel good at the end because everything works out. That's what I want all my Christmas kind of rom-com comedies to be like. I think this movie executes that. I agree that the movie is unoriginal. I don't think that's a knock on this movie.
Yeah, no, I firmly agree. The point of movies in general is just for like the average consumer to like enjoy them. And like this movie is funny. Like it's fun to watch. It's fun to watch Vince Vaughn get beat up by an 8-year-old. It's fun to watch Reese Witherspoon like tackling kids in a moon bounce. That's fun every time. And it doesn't need to like be more than that. It's a Christmas movie.
Yeah, I'm reading it right now, and I'm reading some of the reviews. I mean, the Hollywood Reporter called this one of the most joyless Christmas movies ever. Someone else in the Associated Press wrote that Vince Vaughn makes the movie tolerable, but the slapstick physical comedy doesn't suit Reese Witherspoon. Roger Ebert gave this movie 2 stars out of 4. Someone else said that there was no core to the characters at all. Usually in this movie, I would say kind of our feelings and the critics' feelings are kind of in line. I don't really think that the critics are very fair to this movie for what it is. Yeah. I think it's a modern classic. As we get further and further away from the 90s and the movies that we grew up with the kids, is we just have fewer kind of Christmas holiday classic films. Mm-hmm. I would put this at least in my category of a classic, but I'm admittedly biased towards Vince Vaughn.
That's fair. See, I for sure, like, out of movies that came out around this time period that were, like, Christmas comedies, I'm more of a Christmas with the Cranks girl. But, like, this movie is funny, and it doesn't need to be bigger than, like, what it is. I think the comedy works. I think, like, Reese Witherspoon, like, being openly annoyed with Vince Vaughn in like several scenes is hilarious and very funny. And I don't know. I don't think the critics are being fair. I feel like they're taking it too seriously.
Yeah. I think what happened is, and I thought of this as you mentioned Christmas with the Cranks, is Christmas family movies just evolved. Mm-hmm. You know, in the 80s, the Christmas family movie was you in a car and you're driving to grandma's house, like Christmas Vacation or Christmas with the Cranks. Like, this is a holiday family movie. A lot of people's families are kind of like what is, I think, represented in this movie. And I think that's why it holds up really well. Like, you have, I would say, at least we don't really get a feeling of the fourth family dynamic because she goes in there really for the purpose of talking to her dad.
Yeah.
But the first three houses are drastically different. And I think when you learn, when you are in a relationship with somebody and you go to visit your mom and your dad, if they're divorced and the other side of the family, I think you will get a very similar family dynamic to the one that they got.
Even like if you're, like families aren't divorced and you're just going to like a partner's house for like the first time and trying to just like go with the flow and like just like fit in and appease everyone and join in on traditions. Like that's a hard, awkward thing for anyone. And it's always like weird seeing how somebody else's family does stuff.
What's the last Christmas movie that you would deem to be a classic? Because I mentioned the 90s, like I went to the Home Alone Symphony this weekend. Just incredible, right? Oh, love, yeah. Home Alone. There's maybe 10 to 12 movies from the 90s that we would consider Christmas classics. The Santa Claus, Jingle All the Way. You know, people argue about Die Hard, whether that's a classic Christmas movie or not. Like there's so many. And it feels like maybe after 05, there aren't many movies that people would say this is a classic, but they are still very much relevant in pop culture. And they usually make one or two good ones. It feels like every holiday cycle.
Yeah. I mean, like, obviously, like if you're doing like past the 90s, like Elf is a huge one for like our generation. I would say The Holiday is a pretty big classic, the one with Kate Winslet, and like they like switch houses, you know, Jack Black's in it. One of my favorite holiday movies, is one that isn't super popular, but it's called The Family Stone.
I've heard of that before. I've never seen it, though.
Incredible movie. Oh, my God. It's so good. You should check it out. Love Actually, I think, is a classic at this point, for sure. I don't know. I think we're heading more towards, like, cartoon kind of stuff, too. Like, I just saw, like, they, like, redid, like, The Grinch as, like, the cartoon, you know, like, in, like, the Minion style.
I really like The Night Before. That's probably the last Christmas movie that I've seen that I was like, oh, I really like this movie. This movie will be part of my Christmas rotation. And Four Christmases is also part of my rotation, too. I probably have about 10 Christmas movies that I watch every year. I've already watched three of them, and Four Christmases is already a movie I watched. I really do enjoy this movie. What is something you think that Four Christmases does right?
I think just the general, like, kind of back and forth between, like, Reese Witherspoon and Vince Vaughn is perfect. And there's a lot of reports from set that they did not get along, that they really hated each other. In fact, Vince Vaughn did not go on the press tour for this movie. And a lot of people like were like, yeah, it's because they hate each other.
I wonder what happened between those two.
From reports I was reading last night that like, you know, like, and like, who knows how good these sources are, because they're always just like an insider source. A lot of things said, like, Vince Vaughn would, like, show up, like, pretty last minute, like, kind of scrambling, didn't want to rehearse scenes, whereas, like, Reese Witherspoon, like, wanted to, like, go over things, like, was always, like, there, like, an hour early.
Type A versus type B.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And, like, I feel like, honestly, though, that tension made their characters better, because, like, as the film goes on and they're just getting more and more mad at each other, and you can tell, like, when... I keep mentioning, like, the play that they do at the church because it's my favorite scene in the movie. It's so funny to me. But when he is just, like, yelling and he's like, this is my moment! Yeah, I'm Joseph! And she walks off stage, like, rolling her eyes, and she is just so mad at him in that moment is so funny to me. It just works so well, I think, the dynamic between their relationship.
I'm going to say what I think the movie gets right is I think using the car rides as transitions between the homes is really good. And this is when you're just letting Vince Vaughn be Vince Vaughn. Like when they're having the conversation about whether you would put the oxygen mask on yourself, it's just really funny. They have so many good conversations in the car. That was a really good vehicle to kind of push the story along and kind of recap the scene that we had just watched. I thought it was really good. I'll go first on what I think the movie got wrong is this movie's really Three Christmases.
Yeah.
It's not Four Christmases. I get it. They go to the last house. Nothing really meaningful happens in the last house. She very easily could have went back to her mom's house and had that same conversation with her mom, because she tries to have that conversation before they go to the church, and then her mom says, we can have it later. I understand the movie is called Four Christmases. That's better than Three Christmases, but there really is not a fourth Christmas. There's three Christmases.
Mm-hmm. What would you have wanted to see that fourth Christmas look like then?
There was a certain depth to all the other parents that doesn't really exist with Reese Witherspoon's dad. We didn't do anything with his dad. We played a game with the mom. We went to church with one of the other moms. We opened up gifts with the other one. We don't really get that same connection with Reese Witherspoon's dad. That's what I wanted the movie. If you're going to call it Four Christmases, then kind of equally build up all four of these characters. And I just don't really think they did that with John Voight character.
I absolutely agree, which in turn like leads it to feeling kind of rushed at the end, because you're just like, oh, like we're all resolved, because you're expecting like another, like something to happen at the house at least, and then it's just like, no, we're done, we're good.
Yeah, the last scene to me of this movie feels like they were so hellbent on making sure that it hit a certain time marker and they just ran out of time. Hey, we want this to be a 90-minute comedy. Oh, wait, we're at 80 minutes. All right, well, we can't really flesh out this character. Let's just try to hurry up and get it done and make everybody feel good and go home.
I think the way they could have remedied that is they could have had Reese Witherspoon's, like, dad, John Voight, come to the church earlier. Because, like, you see, like, the moms at his house later. So, like, clearly, like, they're on decent-ish terms. And... like, he could have, like, been at the church and, like, introduced his character then and then, you know, been like, oh, like, I'll see you guys later. But, like, laid a little bit of a foundation. So it made more sense later when she had, like, this, like, heart-to-heart with him.
This movie is rated a 5.7 on IMDb. Is that too much, too little, or just right?
I definitely think it's too low. I think it should be like a 6.3, 6.3, 6.4.
Yeah, I'm looking right now, and I mentioned The Night Before as a movie that I really like. That movie is at a 6.4 on IMDb. I feel like this movie should be rated around there. They're very different kind of movies, but I do think at the end, the core kind of comes to the same conclusion. I think this movie should be closer rated to that. A 5.7 for this movie is way too low for me. This is actually one of the movies that I think is maybe further off from how I feel versus what the ranking is. So yeah, I'm going to go 6.4, 6.5, somewhere in that range for Four Christmases. This movie is still in my rotation. If I had to make a list, Four Christmases would be in my five favorite Christmas movies.
I think this movie is very funny, and I also think it's pretty unique for this time period, because a lot of comedies from like this, like 2008, 2009 kind of time frame don't really hold up today in like 2024. Like the jokes are like really offensive or things that we just don't really say anymore. And I don't feel that way about this comedy. I feel like a lot of the jokes I still found really funny, like, you know, 15 years later. And so I think that's like a true testament to like, no, this is like a solid comedy. This is actually funny.
This was Four Christmases. Be sure to check this movie out on HBO Max if you want to catch up with it for this holiday season. We have a lot of fun Christmas movies coming up for the year. We're going to have the Hallmark review that's going to come out here in a couple days, probably on Thursday, maybe Friday at the latest, but it will be out this week. And next week's movie is Bad Santa 2. I've only seen Bad Santa 2 one time. I've seen the first one a bunch, but I wanted to go back and watch the second one. That will be our next podcast. Whitney, Merry Christmas, man. Thanks a lot for coming in today.
Merry Christmas. Thanks for having me.
You guys were listening to the Bad Movies Worst Opinions podcast. We believe everybody has a favorite bad movie, and the only rule is that we must watch a movie rated below a 6.0 on IMDb. Catch you guys later on in the week.